Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I am your host, Brad Weekman. We're here with Grayson, my grandson, who's been doing some fishing with me, live scope fishing with the Garmin, right? Seeing the fish on the graph. And then the other day we went and we pulled crankbaits, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Like those crankbaits.
Yeah.
Yep. And also here's Mitch, who, of course, Mitch, co-host. And he's here because, you know, he wants to show his trophy off. Yeah. Look at that. It's sitting over there. And so so that's what the deal is. So we're gonna keep it going and see what happens. Tell us about fishing, Grayson. You went the other day with me pulling crankbaits. How was that? Was it fun?
Yeah.
Did we catch a lot of fish?
Yeah.
Did you use a counter? Didn't you use the counter?
Yeah.
Remember, it's called the button?
Yeah. We caught 8 keepers.
8 keepers? Yep. And then how many did we catch? 32?
I think it was 35.
It was 35? Yep, somewhere right in there. Day before, we even caught more than that, but we were out trolling crankbaits, weren't we?
Uh-huh.
Yep. So Mitch just got back, and as you can see from his 4-foot-high trophy, he has been down at Grenada Lake fishing the Crankfest down at PTG Outdoors. Tell us how that went, Mitch.
Well, obviously, it went pretty good for me.
Yeah.
It's a really, really neat tournament. That's and, you know, everybody's on equal footing as far as trolling a crankbait because there's no live scope allowed even on the boat.
Uh-huh.
You know, you have to take it off, and it can't even be in a rod locker. It's got to be off the boat. So everybody's using the regular equipment. Of course, now I fished with a couple of boys down there that know where every drop and ledge and stump in the lake is.
Right.
They don't really need a whole lot of depth assistance. So
I don't think there's much advantage to a live scope when you're trolling because you're moving and you're moving at a pace, and except for like
the big advantage when you're on that high of a pressure to the lake with that many boats on it. There were 60 boats in this tournament, and there were three times that many out there fishing besides us. So the big advantage would be to watch the fish and what they do.
Yeah.
Because I know if you didn't have a planer board at least 75 feet off the boat, you wouldn't get bit.
Right.
So if you had a live scope and you could see a fish swim 100 foot out there, you'd know where to put your planer board.
Yeah, but they're all moving that way.
Yeah, but how far are they going to go?
Yeah. Hopefully they go out to your farthest planer board.
Well, true that. Yeah. Yeah.
What color planer boards did we use the other day?
Were
they
orange?
Yep, they were orange, weren't they? Yep. So those were we used Church's planer boards the other day. We have offshore tackle. What were you using?
We was using offshore.
Yeah. Yep. So let's talk a little bit about the distance you were letting it back. So Grenada, tell them a little bit about Grenada. It's a different lake. It's a different beast than Beaver Lake.
Grenada's basically a swamp. It's not anything like, I mean, you could, it's 55,000 acres at pool, and you could drain it and put it, fill up Prairie Creek Cove. Okay. I mean, it's, you know, it probably the average depth out there is 12, 15 foot.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of water in the channels that's 30, 35 feet. There's a whole lot of 6 and 8 and 10 foot of water. Lots of it. And it's if you would go down and look at Louisiana swampland and see all the little cuts and dips and dives and bayous and creek channels and stuff, that's what's under the water there.
Yeah.
With stumps and trees and stuff all over it. So what you get into a situation to where those are all the little highways that these fish are using.
Uh-huh.
So you try to map boat routes out. And what we were doing down there is long ridges that would come out in the lake where, I mean, by a ridge, I'm talking it would half a mile offshore, it would be 14 foot on top of this, but there would be like a creek channel that swung around the end of it and it'd drop off to 16, 18 foot.
Right.
And those are the places we were kind of keying on. So we'd have one baits on one side of the boat would bump bottom on 14 foot, and baits over here would be running 14 foot over 18 foot of water.
Right.
And it was the shallower baits that were getting, we actually ended up bringing them up to about 10 and 12 foot deep to get the better bites.
Huh.
So the fish wanted to be in that 14 to 18 foot zone, but they wanted to be in 10 to 12 foot of water.
That's kind of what we've been doing here on Beaver Lake. We've been staying in the channel. What color is the channel? What color are you keeping the boat in? What color is the line that you're keeping on?
Blue.
Blue, that's right, because that's the old river channel, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's deep, so how'd we control our boat?
With buttons.
Left.
We have to keep it moving so the rods stay going, so we don't just have to keep reeling and going out.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. So you guys were trolling too, I take it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's all this was a crankbait trolling competition. Yep.
So tell us a little bit. Did you get to run the controls a little bit? Tell us who you were fishing with.
Oh, I'm fishing with Tom Leib.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. So there ain't anything in the lake he don't know where it is. You know, right. I mean, the man's lived there his whole entire life.
Wow.
And his dad actually worked on the construction of Sardis Dam.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's where he grew up is probably 500 yards from Grenada Dam.
You know, right. So,
yeah, he's he knows it inside and out. And then plus I fished with Danny McDonald. Which he is one heck of a fisherman. He is a great live scope fisherman.
Right.
So, but he used to troll crankbaits a lot. So this was before live scope, he was a crankbait guru too. So I got in the right boat.
You got in the right boat?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like you got in the right boat. Is this a traveling this trophy? You're going to have to share it with Tom and Danny, or did they just say go put this at the Pico headquarters?
No, they both of them guys got so many of these trophies they don't know what all of them belong to. So,
what colors have been hot down there? I think you know one of the colors. Let's see that one. What color is that?
Green and white.
Yep. What's it called?
The Christmas tree.
Yep. This one we caught fish on, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
But that's what they've been catching them too.
Yep. And amazingly enough, I wasn't the only one. I heard somebody else that was in the tournament because we had a pretty good MC this year.
Uh-huh.
And he would he'd ask everybody to tell what they caught their fish on.
Right.
They'd have to even call a brand, but nobody else does a Wonder Bread, so you know, nobody else does Blue Boogie and some of the other colors,
right.
You know. So when you hear your name called, it kinda makes you feel pretty good. So
yep.
I know what that one's called. It's Wonder Bread.
Wonder Bread.
Yep.
Yeah,
Wonder
I know Bread. Some of the names.
Yeah, he's been practicing some of the names because we've been shifting. Did you have to change? Now, these are, what's the last one, too?
White Splatterback.
So these are all very much white patterns, like shad patterns. And normally down that way, that's not really the ticket, is
no,
it?
No, it's not. You need some dark purples and like beach ball is a good color down there. So now I understand Doug Wynn came in sixth or eighth place.
Eighth place,
running that. And I heard a couple other people's, but most of the people, I heard a couple of chromes, and I pulled the chrome off of two lures, man.
Right.
And I never got a bite on it. But I think it was just too flashy.
Oh, too flashy.
Yeah, I don't know. Because when you look at something like this, I heard another guy that was calling this monkey milk.
Right.
Because it's got a yellow belly. I was like, he's brought one up, and he says, is this called monkey milk? And I said, no, it's white splatter.
definitely white splatter.
Yeah. I know one guy brought a bait up to me because he come into money, and he didn't want to get it wrong when he told him what he caught it on.
Right.
And it was simply awesome.
Yeah.
Which last year, I put five of the six keepers in the boat. We had one Simply Awesome in the boat, and five of the six keepers come off it.
Wow.
Yeah. So, or no,
so always,
four of the five, I'm sorry.
Not that you own Pico Lures, but you should have multiples of the same color.
Well, you would think a guy'd be a little more prepared if he knows the people I know, right?
So, that's right. And we use multiple colors too, didn't we? We use the same color, pink splatterback.
Yeah.
And some of them we use the same color too. Very common for people to do that.
I really wish I'd put bone orange in the water. I didn't even think of it until on the drive home. I'm like, we had bone orange. I bet that might have worked.
How many rods did you have out?
We were allowed three per person, but very seldom. I think at one time we had eight.
Eight?
Yeah.
Yeah, eight's pretty common.
When you're fishing 3 foot rollers, you gotta kind of.
You did get some wind down there.
Yes. So I took a picture of the sunrise that morning. I think I sent that to you, didn't
you? You did?
Yeah.
Yep. And the white caps.
I mean, it looked like you took a red crayon and drew the sunrise. I mean, red sky and morning, sailor take warning. And, man, it come true, let me tell you.
What else? So there were 60 teams down there, and it went out of PTG Outdoors.
Right. Yep. Yeah. They got a real good facility there, man. I mean, they've got a big awning over the front of the building and everything, right, all the way in under, drive the boats all the way around the building and everything. It's a really good facility, real well run tournament, too.
Right. And that's probably on its 6th year or somewhere
this
around
this was
in
5th
there.
Or 6th here. Yeah. I think 5th, maybe.
How many? And you said there was around 60 boats? That's pretty good for being June, the last week of June.
29th of June, yep.
Mississippi. Did you have an umbrella or some kind of awning on your boat?
Nope.
No.
We did not. We seen a guy that had an umbrella, and it looked like it had gotten broken, and he looked like he was utilizing that to save his trolling motor batteries, because it was basically a sail, and he made a pass down through all that timber and everything with that wind just blowing him like a pirate ship down through there. Turned around, went back, did it again.
So water clarity down there, you think that played a part in that or not?
It's pretty much normal Grenada. You can see a white bait maybe 18 inches.
Right.
If you're looking for it, foot for sure. Huh. Yeah. That's what makes that lake work. It's not because it's mud. It's fertility.
Yeah.
That dude is fertile. The way they manage that, you wouldn't think it'd have a fish in it.
Right.
Because they drain it down to, 6,000 acres?
Yeah, some of the ramps aren't usable in the winter.
No, you can't even fish it unless you got a John boat and want to drag it out to the water in the wintertime. And then they fill it all up all at one time.
Yeah.
And and you would think there'd be dead fish floating all over the banks, but I guess they've grown up that way. And I think what it does is it gathers all the bait fish into that channel, and they just sit down there like they're at the Sizzler, man. They're just chomping down all winter long.
I believe that.
We actually seen there were big, huge clouds of shad down there. And, I mean, those shad down there are start about that big and get about that big. And stuff's busting them all the time. And if you run a bait through there, you'll catch a crappie. You'd think it might be, but I don't think there's any. And I've been fishing down there 10 or 12 years now, and I've caught one little bitty bass.
Right.
In the whole time I've done it.
Talking about colors, you got 42 different colors.
Right.
What's your favorite color? What do you think your favorite color is out of all of them?
The Christmas tree one.
Well, that's because it catches fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
That does help, tend to help one make his mind up.
Now, it's hard to say that there's one favorite one, but isn't there some colors that are popular in Kentucky Lake and Mississippi, and then up here in the Ozarks, a different color pattern?
Yeah, but the thing with the color patterns is they change as we go through the seasons.
Right.
You know, earlier in the year, them darker color patterns, like the beach ball and stuff, they're what works. And now the fish right now, they're on 100% shad diet.
Right.
So, you know, brighter, wider, shaddier colors are probably going to outdo the darker colors.
Yeah.
Now, Friday morning down there, we had kind of a dark morning and stuff, and I run dark colors till I was blue in the face. You know, it's just, that's not what they wanted. Not out of our boat, anyway.
Oh. Well, that's the way it is some days.
Yep.
Line counters? Did you use line counters or not? We don't have line counters, do we?
What about line counters?
That's the number on a little dial that tells you how many feet you're out. You were just letting it out. Right, letting out the spool.
Yeah, and I ask you when to tell me to stop.
That's right. So we put them out.
Yeah.
In general, we were sporadically.
It was pretty critical.
Yeah.
To use a line counter down there.
Papa just counted.
As the day goes on, you know this. As the day goes on, the shad come up, and the fish come with them, and there was a huge difference between 35 and 45 feet.
So
plus, that's a huge difference in keeping you off the bottom.
Right.
If you're trolling 14 foot of water, and you're going to lose crankbaits if you're out 45 foot and you want it 35.
Did some of that black, gnarly stuff that's on the bottom there, like they have sometimes at Lake Washington, get over in there?
No. This thing, you got to remember, this thing goes dry every year.
Yeah. But still, they, something might grow. When you're it's hit, Mississippi.
There's so. No rocks in Mississippi because yeah. you're not going to find that. You're either going to hit an old cypress stump, a dead log, or mud.
Right.
And they do have mud there.
They got lots of mud.
Yeah, boy.
So what else do you know about fishing crankbaits that someone might want to know? You don't know?
You ever just get let them come to the top and ski them in real fast?
When they pull back on those like those boards, when they pull back, you know there's a fish on.
Right. Yep.
How about the ones that vibrate when you don't have a planer board on?
Well, if it doesn't vibrate, there's a fish on.
Yep. Yep, that was pretty much our theory right there.
Yeah.
They've actually been biting pretty good on Beaver Lake, but yep. For numbers on the thing, so you're not going to get real bored. Did you catch numbers down there too, or no?
Not at all. No. Uh-uh.
They just got done changing.
I think we had 7 or 8 all day Saturday.
So
we had 4 total, and we fished till 1:30 on Friday.
Had they changed the length limit? I mean, not length limit, but the numbers.
I think that's
on there. Was
I think
that
that's
after
15th of July or something?
Oh, all right. But they, so they it didn't.
It wasn't. It wasn't. It, that wasn't an effect because it's just a 5-fish tournament,
right?
So,
but I mean, 12-inch crappie, pretty big crappie.
Yeah.
I mean, just to start with, that's just a keeper.
Yeah, but that's part of how that lake is managed. I think they're born 10 inches down
born
there.
10 inches.
Yeah. Yeah, they eat breakfast and dinner, and they're 12 inches long. 12-inch long fish down there aren't going to win you nothing.
Yep. Well, that takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Look at this. We're all Pico'd up.
Yep.
Where's your Pico? He's supposed to be wearing the sunglasses that are Pico.
Oh.
Oh, there you go. Yep. He's going to put on his
so
Pico.
You got to be cool.
It's kind of hard.
Yeah, well, it's a challenge.
You can handle it.
It's cold.
Well, it's better than being hot.
It's July. It's hard to find anything cold.
Wow,
it's pretty good looking.
Wow.
Pretty good looking pair of glasses.
You look like one of those professional anglers right there. Pico Lures, of course, has a complete line of hard and soft baits, and of course, they got crankbaits.
Yes, we do.
And 42 colors.
Just had another 72-inch tall pallet full of them come in.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, you might need them because I get the feeling that you've been getting lots of orders. The orders coming in, what's the popular colors that you've been sending out?
I don't think an order has come in that did not have these three baits in it since that tournament.
Yeah. I can see, I can easily see Christmas tree for everyone. And a white splatterback, of course, we did really good with bass fishing this spring on it. So. Anyway.
On Friday, that was the only color that caught anything. Yeah.
Wow.
And then we started trying this thing, and it's like, hey, they like that too.
That's right.
Yeah. So,
all right.
Yeah,
so,
it was a good time. I think everybody down there had a pretty good time. It was tough fishing.
Right. Well, someone has to win, so it's always good when you bring home the
trophy. I think last year we caught 6.68 pounds and finished sixth.
Oh.
And this year we caught 6.62 and finished first.
It's tougher this year.
Yeah.
Lots of people talking about it.
It was tough. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.
Mm-hmm. Because that makes the fish bite well.
That's right.